I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Josie Jaramillo, Erica Trujillo, and Joanny Lira. They are from the Solace Crisis Treatment Center. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
So there is a volunteer advocacy program that you have at the Solace Crisis Treatment Center, and there's a training coming up, which we are here to invite people to join if they are called to do so. What do volunteer advocates do?
They serve on the hotline. We have a 24-hour hotline service, and we need volunteers to help assist us with after hours and weekends and holidays. We have shifts that they can work. They answer the hotline and help people who are in need of talking with someone.
Now, who ends up calling the hotline? Like, what's that about?
It's actually ran through a service. Our number is through an 800 number, or they can also get transferred over through our work line, the business line. And that answering service will put it through to a volunteer. Can have it, say, to their cell phone or their home phone, landline, just depending on what works for them. So it's, you know, from the comfort of your home, and the answering service puts them through.
And so people call when they are themselves in crisis?
In crisis, or sometimes it's needing information, when does the office open, or where's a shelter in town I can go to, things like that.
Mm-hmm. So what happens during the advocacy training?
During the advocacy training, it's during two weekends, and we have several presenters from our community, people that we work with, and they each give a presentation on different topics that suits our standards of advocacy.
And when you're trained to be an advocate, I mean, you know, that's no joke. I mean, somebody might call who's really in trouble, mm-hmm. and you are the person on the other end of the line.
Right. Well, our training is an intense training. You learn a lot. We have things like trauma 101, advocacy 101. We get introduced to our sexual assault nurse examiners. We get introduced to our CYFD workers, our, you know, protective services, and reporting. How to report crimes. So we're there to contain and resource the caller. You know, we're there to help guide them to their next choice and empower them to make whatever decision best suits them next.
Now, have all three of you been advocates at different times?
Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh.
What was the experience like for each one of you?
For me, advocacy work means being able to help others that in their moment of need, and just to listen and to provide some resources for them to link to and get the help that they need.
I've been an advocate now going on over 6 years, and because of this training, it's provided me with the tools that I need to help respond to any kind of crisis or, you know, people in trouble. So it's been pretty, it's been rewarding to be able to help the community and help guide them towards their healing, or, you know, just solving that problem that they're facing in the moment.
It's funny because when you're on call, and I did this many, many years ago when I first moved to Santa Fe, I was an advocate for what was then called the Rape Crisis Center. And, you know, it's your time. And in those days, there were no cell phones. It was before cell phones had been invented. And so you stay home and you're like taking your phone. And if you go into the bathroom or whatever, you're making sure you have your phone with you. And a lot of the time, the phone doesn't really ring.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's, when you first start, it's a little bit, you know, nerve-wracking, of course. It's different. You just anticipate that call. What's it going to be? But, you know, the training is really, really geared towards preparing you for that. Mm-hmm. As you're on the line, I think that your nerves ease and it becomes easier. You know, if you miss a call, they're going to keep calling you. You know, they'll call within the next 10, 15 minutes. You know, because we're people and certain things happen and we might you know, need to call that person back. So it kind of gets easier as you go along with that.
What was your experience like, Johnny?
My experience was, I love it. I've been doing it for 2 years, and every day is different. There's different calls every day. Sometimes you might have a day where there's no calls at all, but when there is that crazy one, it's like you're just going, keep going, and guide them in the right direction.
We're talking about the volunteer advocacy program at the Solace Crisis Treatment Center. What kind of, I mean, what's the big picture? Are there a lot of sexual assaults going on in this area, you know, every week, every month, every day?
There is, but, you know, the crisis line doesn't really have a rhyme or reason. There's not a certain type of call that you see more than another. It can be, like I said, a simple call as, where is the center? Where do I go for housing? Or who do I call to get some food on the table for my family? You know, maybe I think that I was slipped a date, rape, drug.
Oh, boy.
You know, things like that. Yeah. So there's a big variety of what a caller may be calling for. And it really isn't limited. They call for just about anything.
What do you do at the center now?
Right now, I do victim advocacy work. I follow and track cases throughout the system. When I say system, I mean, you know, through reporting with law enforcement, through the Children, Youth, and Families Department, the DA's office, and I coordinate. We have a multidisciplinary team that we work very closely with, especially on children's cases, and we all stick together. You know, our goal is to support the family through the process of having to work with all those different agencies. So we're there for the family, to support the family and help them to understand why the system works the way it does, and, you know, help them to heal through that and to have an easy process. And then I also interview children and get their stories.
Now, interviewing children and getting their stories has got to be intense.
Yes and no. I think that it's intense to know that these things happen to our children. I'd gladly take it all away to have no job tomorrow, but they are happening, and it's really rewarding to be able to be somebody that can hear these children without having a reaction. It's very healing for them to talk about what they've been through or what they've seen, or, you know, maybe they've witnessed their sibling or their mother, you know, a domestic violence situation. And when they're able to talk about it and have somebody listen to every detail and want to know what happened to them, it's a very healing process. So that in itself makes it very rewarding.
What about you? What's your work at the center, Josie?
I am the manager for the Family Advocacy Department, and I also do forensic interviews. So
that's a similar thing, but with adults?
No, I interview children as well as, like Erica does. I've been trained to do forensic interviews. I've been doing that for about 16 years now. So that's a piece of work that we all do in a way that is very healing to children. And like Erica mentioned a while ago, all our child abuse cases that come through the center are done with a team approach, where we have a team working the case from law enforcement to child protective services, to the forensic interviewer, SANE nurse, or the sexual assault nurse examiner, or anyone that is involved in this child's life that will be helpful for the whole case.
I think it's really important the way you're talking. I mean, something happens to one person, it happens to the whole family, really.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It does.
What about you, Johnny?
I am the bilingual advocacy specialist at Solace, so I basically do what Erica does. I do the case tracking with the family. I help any victims of domestic violence with orders of protections. I help the family go to court if they have any hearings, just there to be for emotional support. And I'm also training to be a forensic interviewer as well.
Now, if somebody is an undocumented immigrant, they can still call and get the help they need without endangering themselves?
Of course. We always try to make it so that we navigate the system in the right way so they're not put in that situation, and we make sure that they know that they can report crimes that have been committed against them without being in trouble for it later.
Meanwhile, getting back to the volunteer advocacy training, the training starts on the 17th of April. It's the 17th through 19th is the first weekend, and then the 24th through 26th is the second weekend. And it's quite a commitment, but if I recall, and it's probably you know, changed and grown, but still a lot of the same material as it was when I did it so long ago, you learn so much when you do it. Mm-hmm. It's such a fulfilling thing to do if somebody's a volunteer. And then the commitment is, what is it, one night a week or one?
We ask 4 to 5 shifts a month, it's based on the volunteer's time. So, you know, it is a big commitment, but there is a lot of really interesting information that you get to take with you. So, yeah, about 4 or 5 shifts is what we ask, and the shift, depending on whether it's a weeknight or a weekend, will look different.
Mm-hmm. For more information, people can call 505-988-1951, and they can also go to the website findsolace.org. Josie Jaramillo, Erica Trujillo, and Johnny Lira, thank you all so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you for having us.